CliffCentral.com.
Look at you being all young and ish.
Like, you know, the first time I was introduced to that song was on social media.
Okay.
I saw Jake Gyllenhaal. They made this video of him, like, after he had won, like, a Golden Globe Award or something. And he was dancing to the song. I don't know where they got the footage of him dancing, but it went with the song. And it was like, Jake Gyllenhaal, all bad and bougie. I gotta find what this song's all about. But anyway, welcome to it. It's that time of the week. It's Thursday. It's 11 until 12. You with me, Dimisha Masha, and
awesome. Incomparable.
I don't know if that's even
Candace
a word.
Mama, no, I don't think it is.
She's so fine, she has her own adjective before her name.
I make up my own words. That's what happens.
And just plain old me. And it's the weekly mashup, so welcome to it. But in the studio, we got the gorgeous, like, she's so,
so
fine.
Guys.
Like, I cannot tell. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm speechless. This is me being speechless, by the way.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're talking a hell of a lot for a speechless man.
Yeah, I know. Imagine if I wasn't speechless. I'd be like, hey, what's up?
Oh my
hey, what's
gosh.
Up? Hello.
Listen, I'm just waiting for the court to just, you know, do their thing. I want to be available soon. So, you know.
You wanna, hey, Pete.
You want a brother who's bad and bougie, you know, just holla. I'm right here.
Hey.
And her name starts with a B.
And her name starts
so
with a B.
So Bianca, bad and bougie.
Yeah, it should be triple B. You know what? I'm going to take you from just a B to a triple B, baby. You be Bianca, bad and bougie.
Oh my God, I wasn't ready. I was not ready.
Okay, all right. Anyway.
How are you, boo?
Hey, I'm good.
Thank you so much for being in studio.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast. What you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Like tea and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not, tea party.
It's not that kind of tea party. This is going down, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway. This week, what some things happened, and I wanted to talk about what you sent me the other day.
Mm. Okay, can I just give credit to the person? And she's on Facebook.
She writes so well. She's so eloquent.
Well, she's like a Rhodes Scholar and a Tutu Scholar. I don't even know how many scholars
she is.
Her name
is like
Candace Thickerson. Yes, she's gorgeous and she's smart. And she actually tweeted something, and I thought this is so relevant. Like, we really need to speak about it.
Yeah.
Since I don't have my phone, see. Okay.
Oh, okay, there you go.
All right.
You're like, I ain't reading this.
Just don't read the other messages. They're not for you.
So Candace tweeted and she said, someone tweeted, I'm irreplaceable. That's not true. You may be unique, yes, but everyone can be replaced.
Yeah.
So that's point one, which I love.
I like that because you are unique. We're all unique. Like we are wonderfully and fearfully made, and there's no one.
Yes,
they didn't make another one. And if they did, then one of you would be redundant. We've heard all the memes and the cliches.
Yes.
So what we're saying is, girl, boy, you are irreplaceable.
No,
you are replaceable.
Oh, sorry.
You're not irreplaceable.
Yes.
Yeah, but English is not my mother.
And then the second tweet, she says, if you're not getting the job done or pulling your weight, you will and should be replaced. In work, in love, you're replaceable. And then she says, I think you're probably irreplaceable to your parents, your children, and your siblings.
Yeah.
And I love that because
that
I think
true.
That is so accurate, right?
Yeah. Okay.
The only people who can't replace you are literally close family.
Literally.
Your friends can replace you.
They would like to sometimes, but they just can't. Like, I know that
you're
sometimes.
You're there to stay.
They really
Nothing's
are like.
Nothing's changing.
Lord, can't we just get the other one? Like, couldn't I have gotten another brother?
The other one.
Like, I'm sure this was not the one that won.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sure they made a mistake at the hospital, Lord. If it is your will, Lord, can you just make sure that the real brother, just
emerges.
Arrives? Yeah, so we can get rid of this imposter.
But how important is that, right? We live in a generation of Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whereby all of us feel like we've got this almost... We've got this irreplaceable complex, right? That I'm the only one in the world that can do what I do the way I do it. Love you the way I love you. And, you know, even in relationships, we have this thing of, you'll never find another one like me.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Let me tell you
a couple
you
of months later, he found another one.
Girl,
exactly.
You know what? Give me a day.
No way.
Today. By the end of the day.
By the end of business today.
By the close of business, you have been replaced. Please come get your stuff. We need the cupboard space.
But it's true.
There you go.
It's true. And I think it's such an important thing for people to understand.
Yeah.
That yes, you are valuable.
Mm.
Yes, you are important.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't pull your weight and you don't bring what is required to either relationship, work, You know, you don't pitch up to interviews. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Okay, I see where that was going.
Shots fired.
Yeah. No, but for real though, there's always someone who can do the job. I'll give you an example. You know, some of the greatest Hollywood films were supposed to be done by another actor. Mm-hmm. You know, even a movie like Die Hard, which was Bruce Willis's breakout film, was supposed to be done by someone else. I think either it was Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger turned down the first Die Hard. They didn't really like the script. And then they came along this guy who was actually, at the time, he was a television actor. He was doing a television show called Moonlighting with Sybil Shepherd. It was before your time. Don't worry. Don't feel like there's any pressure. You guys weren't like, there yet. You probably
like,
weren't born. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So Bruce Willis was like, that's when he had hair. Okay. And he was a major TV star. You know, it was really cool. And then he gets this movie called Die Hard, right? Mm. And he kicks it out of the ballpark. He hits it for a 6 to the other parking lot.
Yes, yes.
And that was the birth of Bruce Willis as a movie star. And that's how we got words like yippee-ki-yay, mother.
But there are a lot of stories like that, like you're saying. Like Naomi Campbell, even.
Yeah.
Another model was hired to do a certain shoot. I think it was for Vogue or Sports Illustrated. And she said, you know, I'm tired. I ain't coming. Yeah. And then they were like, okay, you know what? Let's get this girl with no one knows about, which was Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
And that was the moment that launched her entire career. And now she's the biggest supermodel in the world.
Yeah.
And I think there are also, you know, cautionary tales whereby there were people, even in the South African entertainment industry, who thought that they were untouchable.
Yeah.
And they got to this pinnacle that they thought, you know, no one can replace me. Yeah. I'm the only one who can do what I do. And while we replaced you, we even forgot about you now.
Yeah, look, I mean, they tried that with me. I mean, you know, I mean, which other black guy can remember after me on Top Billing?
It's true, but I stopped watching Top Billing when you were on it.
Exactly. So. Because, like, what was the point after that, right? So don't try that, South African industry. Like, don't try that with me. You know, I might be talking about it, but don't try that with me.
He's the only irreplaceable person on earth.
Drops mic.
How?
You guys are crazy. Oh my god.
No, but actually, you know what's really sad though? We're talking about being replaceable, right? When your ex, you find out there was somebody new and they are better looking, have more money, and make her happier than you.
Wow. I don't know, we can't relate.
Yeah.
As depressing
not
as that,
not really, but that's no, rough.
But as, like, as rough as that might tough. Be, but that's my prayer every day for all my exes. I'm like, that's my prayer for you. That's the blessing I want God to give you. I want you to forget about me. I want you to find the man that I could never be. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Everything that I was not, I want you to have that man. Because, you know, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
That's sweet, actually.
Because I want that for you, because that's what I'm doing.
Well, there we go.
That's who I'm with. And I want you to have that too.
But that's nice, actually.
Yeah.
No,
that's very sweet. That's very sweet. That's very sweet. But I'm not as gracious. I'm like, any person you date after me, I hope they're terrible.
Yeah. That's good though. Yeah.
I always want to be the one who got away.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It sucks when it's like, oh no, like she actually showed me I could do better.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
you're like, wait, damn,
I was the bridge. Yeah. I was the bridge to your confidence. I was actually in Zara the other day.
Yeah.
And my brother was trying on something. And I was standing with the ladies, you know, who give you the tag and stuff. So they were having a conversation. So this one was really mad. She was like really angry. So she came to a friend to tell her, like, I can't deal with this ish. So she says, after I upgraded his ass, like, friend, he was wearing flip-flops when he approached me. Like, flip-flops.
Yeah.
And now the nigga, like, I gave him skinny jeans. I showed him the sneaker life. Now he left me.
Oh, snap.
And she's like, no. And he didn't just leave me. Well, you remember that hoe?
He left me
for her.
Yeah. But to you girls,
like,
every other woman is a hoe except you.
No, I actually love women. I'm
that's
like, I can
stop.
Give props.
I'm not in that stereotype.
Don't do it, Bianca. It's not worth it.
No, but I think you need to give props to other women. Like, I'm a huge advocate for women. I'm like, I just feel bad for the other woman. I'm like, damn, girl, you still got, like, if only you knew what you're getting yourself into.
If I could give you a warning
without you thinking I'm being vindictive, then I would.
How would you do that, though?
You don't.
No, you can't.
You don't.
Let's say, you had to. Your life depends on it. I'm actually. That's a great premise for a movie, right? It's a rom com. I don't know how this is a rom com, but it's
okay,
a rom com.
Okay.
You've just broken up with your ex, right? And he was a total dick.
Yes.
Okay. And some other woman, like Bianca, you don't even know her.
Yes.
But Bianca's now going out with your ex, and you have to warn her, because if you don't, your heart will explode.
Okay. You know what I'd do?
How would you do it?
Okay, I'd do it very simply. Back in the day, there was a woman called Shirley Caesar. So Shirley released a song. It was
Shirley
called
Caesar?
It was
the gospel
called
singer,
no,
right?
No, man, no, it wasn't Shirley Caesar. Some other Shirley, and she,
another one. Yeah.
I'll try and find it during the ad break. And she released a song called "Woman to Woman," and it was basically like
woman
she calls
woman.
And now that you're going out with him, you know, I just start remixing the words like woman to woman. He was my man, but I let him go because he's a douchebag.
Okay, all right, all right. I mean, hopefully you do it in the right key.
No, I wouldn't sing it at all. Like, I'd get someone else who can sing to sing it.
You'd write
I'd write the words and get like someone talented to like sing it and be like, I need you to listen to every word.
Okay, so
every
word. You'd get like a singer, a professional singer, hopefully. What would you do, Bianca?
I'd probably befriend her or something.
Damn,
we become really close.
Now that's working for my story.
Wow. That's the only way. Okay. I don't know how else I'd do that.
So
I'd probably
become really close.
I'd become friends with her and just speak to her and tell her, you know, because it's like he's saying, like you can't. I know it's rough, but you can't, as someone who's not another girl's friend, go up to her and say, hey, listen, this and this and this, A, B, and C. He's like this. It won't get taken the right way. So
wait, that's just the end of Act 2. And a half. Okay. No, in fact, that's the end of Act 1. I'm going to throw in a spanner because every movie has to have a hurdle.
Okay. Oh, man.
The hurdle is this, right? You've told her all of this, but she is totally, now you've made friends with her and she's totally in love with this guy. So not only is he a douchebag, you have to help him be a better man for her.
This is asking way too much.
Your heart's going to explode.
I'll die.
Let it explode. We're in the same boat. I'm like, let it explode.
So clearly this is not a South African movie. We're going to have to do it with American actors. Because none of y'all girls can handle this.
No one can handle this.
No, that's a movie right there.
I need to wait too much.
No,
help him become a better man for her.
Listen, thanks for your help. You're not getting any royalties because you're
only helping
her
at the same time, right?
After this,
sorry, bro.
You have to now help her because she's so in love that actually
No, she can fall out of love.
Your friendship is so deep. No, hang on a second here. This is a movie, okay? She's so in love that if she leaves this guy, her heart will explode. So now
to keep yourself from dying and her from dying.
No, wait a minute.
Now two lives.
Now you're going to be
two
a murderer.
Wait, so you have to
why is his heart not in it?
Yeah,
when is his heart exploding?
That's not how life works.
That's not right. I'm with Candace. Where's his heart?
I think it's unfair.
His heart is actually like
ice cold.
He's ice cold. So you have to warm it up. You have to revive this heart. You have to make him a better man so that they can stay together and your job is done. You move on. Your heart did not explode. And out of that, maybe you meet someone even better. Come on, girls.
Because I'm already going to meet someone better. That was never the question.
It's inevitable.
The fact that I left you tells me that I knew there was something better.
Exactly. So it's going to happen.
Yeah. No, T, I don't know, hey?
So your movie has a sad ending. We all die.
We all die.
Except him. Yeah, exactly.
See, he's just like,
that's
damn,
exactly how it works.
I killed two women.
Oh, well, it was easier than breaking up with them. Hey, are you available? My two ex-girlfriends just died. Really, guys? Is that how you want this movie to end? Because that's how it's going to end. The douchebag wins. Is that what you want?
I don't feel any guilt.
Okay,
Bianca already took it when she was like, I'll become friends.
You're dead.
I was like, whoa.
You died in the beginning.
That's a lot of the first act. I died in the first 5 minutes. Like, you know, in a horror movie, when you're the black person, you know, first 5 minutes, one of you has to go.
You were the ducky.
I was that black person. I ran first, yet I died first.
All right, I want to tell you guys about a breaking story that came out.
Okay.
Like, there's a huge lesson in this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll find a lesson for yourselves in this. So, Usain Bolt has been stripped of his gold medal from the 2008 Beijing Olympics.
Wow.
When did that happen?
It was the 100-meter relay. The sprint.
The relay.
And the reason why he was stripped of that medal was because one of the Jamaican team members, Nesta Carter, had been found to have been taking a banned substance. They found out, like, Shucks. Literally a couple of days ago.
Okay.
All right. So everyone thinks they've gotten away with this because this happened in 2008, right? So it's more than 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And 8 years later, it's revealed that actually one of the team members had taken a banned substance. In fact, how it came about was at the time, they took a urine sample and his first test went okay, but they'd test you twice. So okay. the second test was a bit inconclusive. So they kind of put that aside. Now, the implications of this are that Usain Bolt cannot say that he's a triple gold medal winner. Because okay. that means he's won at the hundreds, the 200s, and the relay
yeah.
three times. So his legacy as...
Shucks.
As a sportsman yeah. is just gone out the window, yeah. basically, right? Because no one had ever done that in the history of the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to happen for a very, very long time. And he's done nothing wrong.
Yes.
Okay? And for me, that was like a huge life lesson. That, Damn. You know, in life, things happen to you that were not of your making. You are going along, you woke up early, you worked all night on this proposal, and you woke up and you're on time, and you're driving to the meeting, and somebody who's late on their cell phone typing an SMS sideswipes you. Boom!
Yeah.
Takes you out. Not only do they take your car out, they take you out.
Also, you're in heaven now.
No, you're not dead.
Oh, okay.
The story continues. You're not dead yet.
I was like, damn.
Not only do you miss that meeting,
yeah.
not only is your car like totaled, you are in hospital for about 3 months. So your life comes to a complete stop.
Wow.
That meeting you needed. Like if you're like me, right? You need every gig. So lying in hospital for 3 months means you didn't get paid.
You're not getting,
months, right?
And those hospital bills.
And those hospital bills, right?
Okay.
And that for me is like, you know, someone else's mistake can cost you so much. And that's tragic, you know? But that happens. That is life.
Yeah.
My thing is the reaction that Usain Bolt had after that.
Okay, what was it?
He says, I am ready to give this medal back. I have always said that if any of my teammates were found to have been doping, I don't have a problem giving the medal back.
Wow.
And you know what? It's life. These things happen. I was like, Usain Bolt, you might not be a
triple. That's why he's a champion.
Yeah. But you are a champion.
Damn.
Like you are a proper champion.
Wow.
Your legacy will live on no matter what.
Yes.
And in fact, this will make your legacy live on even more than just being a triple champion. So for me, the life lesson was two things. Yeah.
Okay.
One, bad things sometimes happen to good people, whether you like it or not. Right. But two, it's how you accept what has happened to you that actually determines the rest of your life.
That's so true.
So sometimes you get caught up in so-and-so. That's what I was saying. Like, we started with the guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? The guy who dumped you and now with this other girl. How you treat others in a situation like that could very well determine how your life goes from there. Like, you could, like, get mad. Maybe you're not that badly hurt. Get out your car and beat the crap out of the other person.
Yeah.
You know, now you're facing an assault charge on top of everything else.
Exactly.
You were in the right. And even if you were in the right, maybe this person doesn't even press those charges. The fact of the matter is we're just left with that. We're not left with how you dealt with this, how you fixed this in your life, how you lived through this. Your story does not get told.
Oh my gosh. That's so important though. Because I was speaking to people from, I did a talk at Maryvale College. And they asked me, you know, like when people trash talk on Twitter or Facebook or social media, like what is my reaction? And I said, you know, you can only entertain negativity for so long. But then what people are trying to do is make you reactionary, right? They want you to act out. And who gets judged? Because it's not the person who started the fight.
Yeah,
it's how you reacted to it because it's your
reputation.
So I was like, block.
Yeah.
I blocked them. I'm just like, you know, I don't have time to entertain
Quiet the noise.
Because you can't...
Yeah. I'm
no
not going to have you around in my
exactly.
space.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Like, you're out of my life. But I don't have time to be fighting you every day.
Or to be getting anxiety or, you know, feeling some type of way about you. Because then you're taking so much more from me because I'm always entertaining this.
Exactly.
And that's in life. Whether that ex keeps calling, whatever the case is, it's what you allow into your space that matters.
Or her lawyers keep calling. You know, sometimes it's not
the rest of us don't have lawyers calling us.
Lawyers.
Which is worse, you know? Because if she's just calling, then it's one thing. But if it's a lawyer, then it's another. You know, especially if they're like...
Okay, don't block the lawyers.
And there's an outstanding bill. Like, you trying not to answer his phone. And it's just awkward. Every time you're out with people, they're like,
yeah, yeah. And you're like,
no, that's...
Okay, don't worry about that.
You know, keep talking. It's fine.
I don't know who that is. Upside down phone, right?
Or like the worst is like when someone calls you and then you just keep looking at your phone waiting for the call to end.
Yeah.
Because you were in the middle of typing.
You're like, come on.
No, you know what's even worse though? What's even worse is if you're in the car with somebody.
Yes.
And you're on Bluetooth and your phone starts ringing.
Oh, snap.
And you're just not answering. So you have to wait for it to finish ringing.
Yeah.
And you know, in the car, even if you silence the phone,
it's still ringing.
And they're like, are you not going to answer? And that's the name is flashing on the screen there. And you're like, nah, you know, no. I don't
I'll speak to them later.
Yeah, I'll speak to that person later.
Yeah,
but she's called 3 times.
No, but later. It's really not
who
that important.
She? Why is she calling you? You know, she's some, I don't know. I really don't know who she is.
Oh my,
but her name is right there.
You even saved
not
it.
A private number.
So who is
saved number in your phone?
But that's the problem, right? Like that's you know, iPhones, right? When someone sends you a WhatsApp or any text message, you can have that option to read it. So I read it only because I want to know how important it is. Do I need to open my messages? Can I get back to you later? That kind of thing.
That can get you into trouble. That got me.
But no, but that's the thing. Like I'm not hiding from anyone. I'm not hiding from anyone. So if I blue tick you and I don't get back to you in time, I'm sorry. But it's I got busy.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're in a relationship and all of a sudden it's just popping up, you're just like, Because, you know, you can't help. Like, I don't care who you are. You can't help when a phone, like, flashes.
Yes,
and you're like,
you check it out. Yeah, you're like.
And Beyonce does it. Michelle Obama does it.
And
you know? None of us
that.
Are above
there's,
it.
There's a woman's name and an emoji. Like, that emoji, that one kiss emoji with the heart. I know it's coming from, sometimes it can be coming from a good place. Like, how else do you send someone, hey, you know what? Thank you so much, Candy.
Yeah. Or like just a heart, you know? Like because sometimes a message without emojis is just really serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
So either you have to say LOL or send an emoji.
Yes.
And when you've all LOL'd out, all you can do is send an emoji.
Yeah.
No.
But now you got some explaining to do. But, you know, my point was...
Yes. Getting back to what we were learning.
We all get into, like, these dirty relationships,
digress.
Man.
Nice.
They are so sad.
Usain Bolt being a champion.
Usain Bolt. And I think at the end of the day, it's like... The lesson is, I almost sometimes think God gets us into a place where he allows things to happen.
Yeah.
And then we're like, but I can't. You know, like last year I went through like hectic stuff. I'm going to be honest. Like I went through where I suddenly had to pay legal bills of hundreds of thousands, like out of the blue. In 3 months, I went from my life is just going along, I'm paying my bills, life is good.
Yeah.
And then boom, sideswipe. And I'm like, but it's like I didn't die. You know what I mean? Yeah. And God's like, but did you die though?
Yeah.
You didn't die though.
You didn't die though.
You know? Like, so you're fine.
You know, so you're fine.
You're alive.
You know, the press stuff comes out and it's like, it's bad. And people are sending me letters. Listen, sorry,
Twitter.
Mr. Masha, we can no longer work with you in light of the recent media allegations. And it's like, so because of some allegations, you're going to stop working with me. And you're like, fine, tag then. You know?
Yeah.
But in your heart, you're like, that money was good. That money's gone now. And I owe these lawyers. And they keep calling, you know, because they don't stop calling. And you're thinking, but why me?
Yes.
You know, I was just going along my life. I was helping people and all sorts of things. And now, like, somebody put me in that situation. And now, Lord, you're even saying things like, give that person more.
Mm.
You're like, I've given everything. Everything has been taken. And you're even saying, I must give more.
Mm.
Ah, Lord, come on. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord.
I don't know. Can we have a negotiation?
And, you know, you got to step out and you got to do what you need to do. And you've got to, like, maybe turn the other cheek like Usain Bolt is doing, because that makes you a bigger man. And that's my life lesson for today.
Yeah.
I'm saying I learned that, but I saw it in this Usain Bolt story. And I usually don't talk about, like, breaking news or whatever. But when I saw this, I was like, Usain gave me a life lesson.
Mm.
Like, he lost nothing in losing the medal.
Yeah.
But by actually understanding that his strength doesn't come from like medals or whatever, it comes from a higher power. It makes him a higher power himself.
Yes. But that's beautiful. And I think that's a really important lesson for people to take away.
Yeah.
It's not what happens to you, but what you do with what has happened to you, you know? Because you meet people and everyone has a story. That's the bottom line. Every person you meet has something that they've gone through. And it's about what they take from it. Are they going to be a victim for the rest of their lives and die always having held on to that story?
Yeah.
Or are they going to be triumphant and become different and become people that we look at and say, you know, that was someone worth knowing.
Yeah. And isn't that remarkable? Because even in your own life, Candy, you've actually been through a very real life kind of situation like that, where you became the bigger man. And because you were the bigger man, you know, man, woman, we're just
bigger
using
woman.
It in a biblical way. Okay.
Yeah.
But because of that, like, look where your story went to. I mean, you could have been bitter. If you were bitter,
I would not be
just another black girl out there okay, bitter. You're either dancing at TV or Lollipop Lounge.
Shucks.
So okay. Much hope for the future.
You know, or you got a blesser. Or you, yes. Or you know, you. Yeah. I'm not saying that people who do that, like, I'm not judging them, but I'm saying that you could have. Bitterness leads to you doing negative
bad life
things,
choices,
life
yeah.
choices, right? You could have had whatever bad life choices you might have had. And we wouldn't be here talking to you right now, and you wouldn't be significant. We wouldn't pay to go and listen to you speak.
Yes, yes, that's true. And, you know, it's those small things, right? Because when you're doing it, anything you do in life, the decisions you make and how you end up progressing from certain points in your life, you don't think this is going to lead to my breakthrough or this is going to be the next big thing. You just do it and you have faith in the process of life and you have faith that you are here for a bigger purpose. And that's how you kind of move forward, you know, step by step. But that's what actually brings me to how I met Bianca.
Yay!
Yay! So people are like, why is Bianca in studio?
Why is Bianca in studio?
Why is she here? What's she doing here?
Like, she's real pretty and stuff. But but Bianca and I actually met, like, was it when we were around 21, hey?
Yes.
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 And we were doing...
Last year.
You're so silly, man.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
We were around 21 and we were doing promotions. And we were like, we met at a promotion. For Nati CD launch or something.
Okay, so what were you guys selling?
Yes.
Was it Valprate?
Yeah. We were those girls in the cute skirts and like
we were those ushers holding champagne.
Nice. Standing. Yeah. Our feet were so sore at
our heel. We were oh my gosh, I forgot about we were dying.
We were dying. But we did it because it was our hustle at the time. And I remember we were speaking and we're like, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And Bianca always had this thing of, this is where I see my life going. And we kept in touch over the years, you know, just watching each other on Facebook, Instagram, that kind of thing. And next thing you know, Bianca went and won the Sports Illustrated thing. And I was like, damn, girl.
How did that make you feel?
You done went all the way up.
Yeah. How did that make you feel?
It made me so proud. See, it wasn't even like genuinely. It was just like such a moment of saying, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in life. You know, all of us have to do what we do to survive.
Yeah.
But it's about that, you know, that genuine mental strength to say that this is where I'm going regardless, you know. And when I saw it, I was actually so inspired. And you, you've gone on to do so many amazing things. And I
saw that Sports Illustrated. Okay. And I gotta tell you,
that's speechless. That's speechless.
All right.
I knew there was a God out there once I saw that.
Oh, wow.
Because I knew before, but I was sure after that. I was sure.
But tell us, B, how did your life change after the Sports Illustrated thing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, first of all, going into the competition, I just wanted experience, you know. So winning was just a bonus for me. And I remember I was crying. Like, when I found out, I was actually on my way to another job and I couldn't believe it. Like, I thought I was dreaming. I was driving with my mom and we had to actually park on the side of the road so I could finish and, like, you know, just like get myself together. Yeah. Because I wasn't speaking. I was just crying. So the phone call happened and I just burst into tears, you know. And anyway, so I told her what happened and literally it was life changing for me because it showed me you can go after your dreams and you can achieve them. It is possible, you know. And basically I'm the first black model to win the competition, first and only till this day.
Okay,
and
let's explain that.
Yes,
that's significant.
I think very significant. We shouldn't brush over that.
Yeah, we shouldn't brush over that.
Okay, let's go back.
I mean, there might be one black young woman listening right now, and you know, our ideals of beauty have been so shaped, and you know, you can try and like put your fist up and whatever, and try to be pro black, but at the end of the day, when you go home and you're left with your own thoughts, we all know that we go back to the standards of beauty are.
Exactly, right? But it's almost like your beauty in the black community is in direct correlation to how close you are to whiteness.
No, no doubt.
You know,
that's what
so
I'm
the
saying.
Sharper
that's
your features, the better your voice, the lighter your skin, the curlier your hair,
the longer your hair.
Exactly, but even the song, like in some black communities, when you get married, the song is twa twa twa,
lemone,
lilikalati. Yes.
And now it's
so
like
lady
na
lady. Yes. Back in the day, they used to say, you know, she looks like a colored, which means that she's closer to whiteness, therefore she is beautiful. So you have to see
the yellow bone phenomenon, right?
Precisely. And it's still so shocking to me when people are like, oh, I only date yellow bones, or I only do that. You're like,
Yeah, I'm also like,
you?
I'm also like, really, guy? You're just like, there's a whole buffet.
You're limiting yourself.
God has put out a whole buffet, and you're like, no, I'm just gonna eat the
carrot sticks.
The carrot.
Like, what the hell?
Like, dude, try the lamb.
Yes, but going back to
I was going to take a moment there because that was brilliant.
Try the lamb. Nice.
So you were still saying to the Sports Illustrated black woman. Yeah.
First black woman. Like how, what is the competition? Maybe let's go there because I don't understand how it works. When you say you're the first black model to win the Sports Illustrated shoot. So there's a competition now.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So basically it's called World Swimsuit now. It used to be called Sports Illustrated South Africa. And then they changed it about 4 years ago. And basically, they choose models from all around the world to shoot, right? And what they've done to give opportunities to aspiring models, they've created this competition just to give other people a chance. You know, other models who maybe aren't signed to IMG, you know, IMG Worldwide, or aren't signed to elite models. So first, it started out just being open to South African entrants only, and now it's global. So,
you won the global version.
I won the South African version.
Okay.
Yes. So now they're going into their fourth year now.
Okay.
And so after the year that I won, then it moved into global. So now it's only global. They used to have two competitions, South African and global. Then they changed it and now it's just global.
Okay.
And I mean, it's incredible because, well, actually, you know what? The last 3 years, South African girls have won, which is nice.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, throughout the whole world, obviously. But it's just, it's amazing
which
for me.
Which proves my theory. South Africa has got the most beautiful women.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah. I mean,
Thank you.
But it's just, I'm grateful. You know, I'm just so grateful that I was given the opportunity. And the amazing thing is that I've been able to come back year after year. So I've done the shoot 3 years in a row now, actually. And I've been able to see the world. I mean, the first place we went to was the Seychelles. We were in the Maldives 2015. And last year we were in Borneo, Malaysia. And I mean, it's incredible. Literally a week on an island. And every model has one day to shoot. And the rest of the day is, you get to just see the place, you
know? That's amazing.
You get to have a holiday.
Like you're in an island, right? And you're shooting a swimsuit thing.
Yeah.
Do you then like keep the swimsuit for the rest of the days and just walk in that swimsuit? Or do you now have to go back to your old swimsuit that you bought at Mr. Price? Oh, what happens now?
There are some pros and cons. We can't keep all the swimsuits. We don't shoot in one swimsuit. We actually shoot in 10. And then from there, they narrow it down and then they choose your most powerful shots.
That's a lot of changing.
It's a lot of changing.
Have there ever been like any wardrobe malfunctions where you just walked out and you forgot that you didn't put on the top or something? Because like, it's like 10 changes there.
Not to me, but there was one freak accident that happened the one year. This model actually dislocated her shoulder.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because she had to get into a weird position and her shoulder just, yeah, it buckled and it popped out. It was, yeah,
damn,
it was pretty awkward. She was fine. Yeah, she was fine. She was such a trooper because she came back after being at the hospital and she went back on set to finish the shoot.
The photographer must have felt like a chump because it was his fault. He was like, no, put your shoulder out.
That's the thing. They tell you to do all these things
put it up a little more. Put it up. Thank you. That's right. Okay, a little more than that.
Yeah, but the most awkward, unfortunately.
Oh,
the most awkward positions make the best pictures.
It's true.
Right?
I mean, my knees have been cut. Like, my elbows have been cut. Like, that sand looks great, but it's sore.
Oh, my God.
It's grainy, but it's just worth it in the end, you know? Because you see the end result and you're like, damn, like, I'm so happy I got that spasm. You know? I'm so happy, like,
I got that knee pressure.
I'm so happy that I got cut.
I think that's very helpful for every woman who wants to take a video of their childbirth, because some people do that, you know?
Childbirth?
With that. Because, like, I always think, why would you want to take a video of childbirth? Like,
if you've never done a shoot.
If you've never done, yeah, exactly. Because, like, it's not going to look good for anybody. Like, you're screaming, the baby's popping out, you can't really shoot that. Who wants to see that? You know, why are we taking this video?
I don't think it's the same thing.
So if you
want to,
like, look cool, like, oh, the baby's coming out now.
No ways!
First start with that.
I don't think it is. But what I do think we can take from that.
Yeah. Did I take it too far?
Yeah, you took it way overboard, what? Over the right. cliff.
We were like, childbirth? What?
It's just it just came into my head.
No, but you know what I do like about that is the idea that everyone looks at these pictures, right? And they think that it took one shot, you were there, you know, 10 minutes, yeah. 20 minutes, and you left.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, I really want to be you.
Like it's one shot full, sometimes. Just to get that one shot.
You know what? Sometimes you'll shoot something. Let's say the one swimsuit took about 20 minutes to shoot.
Yeah.
And they end up not even using that. You know, so whatever you took the longest to shoot, they end up not even using it.
That is just like actually shooting a film.
But that's why, but that's why Naomi Campbell is actually one of the highest paid models in the world, because she's called the 10-shot model.
Yeah.
That she can literally give you the look she wants in 10 shots. But it's not easy. It took a while for her to get there, to understand her body, how her body moves, how
her
face functions.
That's the most important thing.
You know, and that's...
You need to understand your body. You need to be comfortable in your body as well. If you're uncomfortable, it reads on camera. Mm. You know, you need to know the angles of your face as well. Yeah. If you don't, it's a problem.
So like the way you pose, like where you're looking, you know what I mean? Like and how.
Yeah,
like that,
no.
That one smile that you're just like,
No, it is true though.
I do that sometimes when like people come up to me at the mall and they want to take a picture.
Oh no.
And I'm like, because I'm a professional, you know.
I'm just thinking Zoolander in my head.
And you're like, all right, you want to take a picture? Let's do this, you know. And you're the one who's ready.
Yeah.
And they're like, smile. And you're like, no, this is the smile.
We are not doing the smile
like,
shot.
This is it. This is the pose.
You bumped into me and I was just looking great shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But you also did the 708 magazine, right?
Yes, I did.
Which is a Miami-based magazine.
Yes. Okay. So the amazing thing about that is I came across... So I do a lot of research. I'm on Instagram quite a lot for marketing purposes. Mm. And just to see, you know, what's new in the market, who's doing what magazines are happening, which models are popping. And I came across 708 and I remember I emailed them and I said to them, I was like, hey guys, I sent them a few pictures of myself and I said, I'd like to be on the cover of your magazine. And I was just going for it. Hey, I was like, hey man, let me try this thing out. I want to do this. Let me try. And they emailed back and they said, yeah, sure.
Wow.
If you can get a team together, fine. Shoot the thing. Send us the pictures. We'll edit them. And that's literally what happened.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, I put a team together. I actually styled myself. I did my own hair and makeup. And I found two photographers to shoot it. Literally sent it the next week and they edited it and it was out like a few months later.
But that is beautiful. You know what? Every time I'm listening to your story, it is about you went out. It's not like you sat back, someone saw you in a mall and was like, oh my God, you're so gorgeous.
No.
Please, can I work with you and make you famous?
Don't even
like
work with those people. Don't work with those people.
No, it's never been like that for me. You know, I really believe if you see yourself somewhere, you can get yourself there. You know, the worst they're going to say is no. And that's the worst I've had is no, you're not what we're looking for. No. Whatever. And it's fine. You move on, you know, in this industry and you know, it's like rejection almost becomes your friend and you become immune to it.
Mm. Yeah. Rejection has to become your friend.
Yeah, you know, and like when people, I mean, obviously in the beginning it's hard. I used to cry after every casting.
Like I'm
shucks.
Not beautiful.
Yeah, and that's how you feel. I remember this one casting I went to. It was for Johnson & Johnson's. And the first round is literally, they just take a picture of you and they want to see if you're pretty enough. And they'll send you out. So they'll call you the numbers who made it through and the rest will be like, thank you. And then they move on from there. And like, how sad is that? You know, well, thank goodness that day I got to stay. But like, imagine those girls who had to go home. Mm. Like, how must they feel?
And for me, what I realize is like with that rejection, right? It's not... You must get to a point where you learn, and this is everything in life.
Yes.
You must get to a point where you learn it's not you who is wrong for the job.
Mm.
It's you are just, there's someone who's probably more right for the job at the time, or it's just not your time. But your time
timing.
Will come.
That is it. If you put in the work and you trust in your vision for your own life, then it will happen. Because I see myself sometimes and I look at some of the jobs I got rejected for and I'm like, thank you. You know, when I pray, I'm like, thank you so much that I didn't get that. Because if I had, I probably wouldn't be where I am today.
Exactly.
So sometimes you just need to say, okay, I'm putting in the work and I'm not going to stop putting in the work. But if it's meant for me, it will happen. If it is not meant for me.
You also have to be patient, you know?
Yes.
Because that's another really big thing. You know, when I get girls emailing me and just asking and saying, hey, do you think, you know, I'll get them sending photos to me and saying, do you think I can make it? Do you think I can make it this year?
That must be tough.
Yeah. No, it's really, that's actually why I started my company. But I mean, we'll get to that. But it's just like, it takes time, guys, you know, and also everyone's timing is different. Like we're talking about, it can happen for someone in a week because of fate, because of timing, because of
because
whatever.
Because you're the look that's in at that time in the industry.
The right place at the right time, whatever. But it can also take years. It took about, you could say like 2.5-3 years for me. I mean, the agency I'm with now, I got rejected from them 3 years in a row before I actually joined them.
3 years.
3 years, and I still kept going back. I was like, nah, I'm going back.
You are
going
to represent me.
I'm going back.
You don't know how awesome I am yet, but you will know it. But that's the difference. That's the difference between the people who make it and the ones who fall by the wayside. Mm. It's that constant tenacity and pushing through, pushing past the barriers. Because I think sometimes young women in today's day and age, which is why I love your company, Scouts at SA. And it's young women in the industry sometimes think that all you have to be is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, or in the media industry, in the modeling industry, they think that, but I've been told I'm pretty my whole life. Like,
but it's not
why am
good
I not
making... It's not good enough. And like, is that, like for me, it's so frustrating for me, especially like, I'll give you an example. Like when I get comments on some of my photos or whatever, I mean, this one girl literally said to me, she was like, you are so beautiful. I want your life, you know?
Wow.
And it struck me. Yeah. It made me really sad, to be completely honest with you, because I was born the way I was born. You know what I mean? I don't work to look the way that I look, you know? And for you, you didn't... You know what I'm saying?
Look, I'm going to say this.
You worked at that?
Yeah. No, but okay.
I'm kidding.
You didn't work to get, like, to get your looks in terms of to be pretty. But you do work
to maintain
your shape.
No, that's 100%. But that's a given.
What I like what she's saying is that, you know what, at the end of the day, right, because I know those comments and they are very frustrating because also sometimes people want your highlight reel. They don't want the behind the scenes you.
I see what you mean.
You know, so they want you, they want the you that they see packaged because those are the pictures you're posting or because that's your business. You can't be posting like, I'm just chilling on the couch pictures, you know, my everyday look. Yeah. But, you know, some girls look at the highlight reel and they think that's all your life is, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to maintain, yes, you have to work out, you have to eat healthy, you have to, because your body is
a
business.
Exactly. You know? That's a given, you know?
But I get what you're saying by, with the way we look aesthetically, you know, you don't control that, but you do control how far you get in life. Yeah. You do control how you market yourself. And because, like I was saying, there are a lot of pretty girls in this industry. They're beautiful girls who'd never end up making it.
Exactly.
And you're like, it's because rejection has to be your friend, buddy. Yeah. Like you can't say that, well, my mom thought I was beautiful. And now that you said
not
I'm not beautiful,
I'm dropping out.
Like,
isn't that the tough thing about being a model? Like you can go in there and you know, I get that a lot. I get it as well on social media. Some people, you know, my WhatsApp number and they're like, people tell me I'm pretty all the time and I just want a model. How can I do it? And you're like, first of all, I don't even know which agency you must go to because I know nothing about modeling.
Yes. Oh, you get those messages.
I get those messages. And second of all, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's not just about you're pretty.
Yes, no.
No, you have to create. You have to create a brand
value.
And I don't know how we can. I don't know how we can make people understand. And you know, especially in modeling, I can understand even in acting, but in modeling,
it's even worse.
It's worse because you don't just get in front of a camera and they take pictures and you walk out.
Yes.
There is such a thing as actually modeling.
Mm.
But and you have to also craft your place in the industry. Mm. Modeling is a huge industry, and people think that once you're a model, you're an everything model.
Yes.
You're a ramp model.
Yes.
You're a swimsuit model. You're a wedding model.
Exactly.
You know, so there's certain categories where you have to understand your physique. You need to understand your face. You need to be like, okay, I'm a bit on the edgier side. So these are the jobs that I'm better suited for me. Whereas, maybe I can do swimsuit or maybe I'm more runway and not as much photographic.
So what would I be?
And then you also say...
Do you think I could do swimsuit?
You'd definitely be commercial. It might.
Did you say swimsuit?
Yeah, I was just asking. I mean, do you think maybe?
You know what? I think commercial would be more your scene.
Oh, okay.
I think what you've been doing is amazing.
Okay.
Good job. Right.
Definitely not swimsuit, though.
I don't know. If you're confident in your body, do the Marie Claire, like, the whole thing.
The naked issue.
But just before we run out of time, I want us to actually speak about Scouted SA. So tell us just a little bit about what is Scouted SA as a company, as a brand? And I know that you are the founder and you're doing everything. So I want to know details, what motivated it?
Yeah, I mean, so I started the company in December. A lot of my ideas and things that I create come to me at like 2, 3 a.m. And that's what happened this time. And
I'm glad there are more of us out there.
Yes, thank you. I literally couldn't sleep and my head was racing and I just had all these ideas and it was just, I felt like I had a mental block. And I remember I just took up my phone and I went into notes and I just started writing and I was just writing stuff. Like, I don't know what was happening, but I was like, okay, I want to do this and I want to do this and this is going to, I was just writing stuff. So after that, I felt better. I could go back to sleep, like less anxiety, whatever. Then I woke up the next day.
Which, by the way, is a great way to help you sleep. If you're anxious and you can't sleep, just write it down.
Right. It helps so much. Mm. Yes. And yeah, I woke up the next day and I was like, okay, let me try and put this all together and piece it all. But basically, I get a lot of inquiries. I get Instagram messages. I get emails. I get tweets. And there's every week on average, and I'm not joking, like I can show you my inbox, maybe about between six and ten, somewhere there. And to get that every week, and for me, like I'm not the type of person to ignore a message or to say, oh, do this and this, okay, hope that helps. Like,
yes, and then move along.
Yeah,
you invest.
I sit and I actually take the time and I'll write out a full-on email and say, try this, do this, make sure this and this, your Polaroids need to be like this, you need to, you know. And so basically, that's where it started. You know, I just want to reach more aspiring models. I would like to have a greater reach and sort of have everyone in one room at one time and tackle everything and any questions they have, you know, we can speak about it. So that's basically what it is. I have intensive workshops. It's a one-day workshop. It's about 3 to 4 hours and we cover everything that you need to know, so the basics, but we also cover how to market yourself and things like that, how to do something that will give you an edge over another model, which is what I had to do. I, like you're saying, I didn't get like found in a mall. I didn't, none of that happened. I had to create my own career, you know, and my own brand. Most of the people that I work with now, it's because I approached them and I said, hi, I'd like to work with you, I'd like to do this and this with you. And it's sort of just, I want to teach these models and it's open to males as well. I just get more females, but it's open to males as well. And that's the main thing behind the workshop is it's to teach them that you need to go after what you want and it's to teach them how to do that as well, because a lot of them don't know how to. And then apart from that, the platform on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, as well as the website, which is launching end of Feb, I market these aspiring models.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So I'm not an agency, but I'll market them. So I'll have the female section, the male section, and agencies can come to the website, makeup artists can come.
Oh, so it's almost like a directory.
Yes, exactly.
It almost reminds me of back in our day, there was that, was it Model, Models Inc. or something like that?
Yes.
Where you like kind of, it's just a directory of different models, what they've done, who they've worked for.
Okay. So that's sort of what it is. And then I'll write on their measurements, what if they are signed, what agency they're with. And it will be a direct link to their agency portfolio. So it will go straight to Boss Models or Ice Models or whatever.
I love it. But what happens if a girl, you can see that this particular girl's got the drive, but she doesn't particularly have the look for the industry at that particular time, because this is an ever-changing industry. One minute they're into African models, the next thing you know, you have to be blonde and blue-eyed, and you know. So how do you deal with something like that?
The thing with that, what I would probably advise them to do is be open to a lot more things. Be open to things like TV presenting. Be open to taking an acting course. Be open to radio. You know, just sort of broaden your scope. You know, because like you're saying, it's at that time, at that moment, you know, but still at the same time, keep building your brand, sort of find what you want to do, find a direction, and then keep building on that so that people can start to resonate with it and be like, oh, that's whoever with the green hair or whoever with the long black hair, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sort of find something that people can identify you with.
I love it. And when is the first workshop?
So it's going to be the last Saturday of February.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Tickets, and how do people get, you know, into it?
Yeah. So tickets go on sale first week of Feb.
Okay.
And if you're following Scouted on all the platforms, it's Scouted SA on Instagram, Scouted ZA on Twitter, and Scouted South Africa on Facebook.
Okay.
There'll be a direct link to where you can get the tickets. And it's 250 Rand a person. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
And is there a break in between? Like, so it's the segments? Yeah, is there going to be a break?
There'll probably be a half an hour break. But it's a lot. So you have to come prepared, man.
Yeah, you got to come in for the work.
Yeah, bring your laptop, bring your notebook. We literally, it's a conversation as well. You know, I don't want it to be like I'm lecturing you or telling you this and this and this, you know. It's going to be a conversation. So there will be questions in between. And I'll be tackling those questions, you know, and just helping everyone at the same time.
And are you going to be working with, like, makeup techniques, that kind of thing?
That's going to come in later.
Later. So that will be like, okay, so it's going to be, well, this one is a beginner course.
Yes, it's beginner.
And then it starts stretching after that. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I've been, like, just...
I know.
Yeah, on the sideline.
sorry. I wasn't even looking at you.
I know. No, but it's cool. I think you guys had a great chat. I enjoyed that. Because for me, hearing all that, and this is what I really loved about what you spoke about. And this is maybe the question, or what I want you to just talk about for a little bit. Mm. Because, you know, I remember in 1996, I tried modeling. And nice. I went to a lot of castings.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
You know, I was like 100 castings, man, in 1 year. You know, that's when you know, like, your rejection
sometimes
is
sometimes even
friend.
More.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was using a taxi at the time, so 100 felt
nice.
Like a lifetime.
Yes.
But the thing is, I was just, what I got to learn was, I was too tall, I was too short, I was too light, I was too dark.
You're not pretty enough, you're too pretty.
Yes. I was not skinny.
You're not
enough.
Relatable, you're too relatable.
Yes.
You know
you're
what
like,
I mean?
What do you want from me? Yes.
Your nose is too thin, your nose is too wide.
Yeah.
So your eyes are too big, too small.
Too
you know,
small.
Yes.
Like, yesterday you were one thing, today you're the exact opposite.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
It's confusing.
And I guess what I just learned was, look, I am me. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep going to these things because I've been called.
Yes.
And this is my calling.
Yes.
How important is it to make this your calling? Because a lot of people just think it's an easy way out.
No.
You know what I mean?
150%.
And why is this your calling? I mean, well, I know why because I'm sitting across from you. Mm-hmm. But why is this your calling?
Yeah, I mean, I think growing up, I was bullied quite a bit. So I had very low self-esteem. Mm. I could never probably even picture myself modeling at all. And I remember, so I started modeling in 2011 and I just tried it. I was like, let me try this thing. And I remember my friends at the time were like, good luck with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was sort of just like, you know what, I'm trying something new. And it's molded me into the person that I am today. And that's actually the reason why I'm so passionate about it. It's because it's given me confidence. You know, I would not have been able to sit here with you guys today 5 or 6 years ago, to be completely honest with you. And it's helped me to be comfortable in my own skin, to be comfortable with who I am. And you don't realize how important that is until you get to this, like, this point, you know. I mean, day to day, it was a struggle for me just to get through the day in terms of, like, speaking to people and just communicating, you know. And I've been able to find who Bianca actually is, and it's bigger than modeling for me now, you know. I've been able to create a brand and a name, and I'm able to inspire people, you know. I'm able to share my story and help lift other people up, you know. Another thing is, I mean, I suffer from anxiety. We were talking about anxiety just now, and I'm just happy that I've got a platform where I'm able to speak to people and help them, you know.
Yeah.
That's sort of, I feel like that's my purpose. It's to give back, it's to inspire, it's to help, you know. Yeah.
I think for me, anyone's calling, and when you pursue it, and when you pursue your calling, here's what I want to let you know if you're listening right now. It will always start off with negative remarks.
Mm,
so
100%.
You'll get rejection
pushback.
And you'll also get pushback, because I think that your calling is so important that should you succeed at your calling, you're going to help so many other people that whatever it is that's keeping you from your calling does not want that to happen. For example, if you had not pushed and pushed and pushed and got to where you are now, we would have lost out on someone like you. So therefore, your becoming who you have become makes other people realize, number one, first of all, I too can do it. But also the other thing is, actually, we all valid. You know what I mean? There isn't also a cookie cutter idea of everybody should fit this particular mold.
So
I remember when I started acting as well, it was sort of like I remember I was 15 years old and I was like, this is, I know.
Yes.
And I've known since I was four.
Yes.
This is what I wanted
Amazing.
To do. And I was a short little kid, you know, struggling teenager with pimples and I was chubby. And all my friends are like, but you will never make it, dude. Mm. You will never, never. Look at you.
How many times have you heard that? Mm.
You know that? Yeah. And even after that, I got a little bit taller. My skin improved, blah, blah, blah.
But still, there were people.
There were people. They'll find a little
something. You're not
something.
Pretty enough. You're not tall enough. Whatever, yeah.
Basically, the line is you're not enough.
Yes.
But I want you to know that you are enough. At the end of the day, you are enough to be whatever it is that you've been called to succeed at. It's important that you find the calling first,
yes.
though.
Yes.
Don't just try to be successful at something
because
that you
were called. But your soul will always tell you.
And your soul will know.
Because, yes, like Bianca was saying, you know, I think even though she suffered with low self-esteem and stuff, but there was something in you that knew that this is what you're supposed to do with your life.
Exactly.
And you can't explain that. To people who don't keep in touch with their own intuition and spirituality, you can't explain why you always have that feeling, but you just say, like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do.
Why do you want to do this, though?
I just need to do it. I remember I told my family, like, when I was very young, I was around 8 or 9, and I remember they put me in front of a camera and I said, this is what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. Like, I spoke and I presented how our dip and trip went and whatever, and they were like, damn, she's actually supposed to do this.
Amazing.
And as I grew older, the dream became bigger, and I was like, I'm supposed to be on international stages presenting. So I didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
All you need and to do was just go and present. Yeah. That's the message.
I just need to talk to people.
Yeah.
Please just listen to me,
but
people.
About what?
Yes.
I don't know.
Naysayers will always say, but all of us want to talk. All of us want to do this. All of us want to be successful. Yeah. But it's in my soul.
Exactly.
And I think that's the message for today. Follow your
soul. But you had to still work at it a little bit, right?
Oh, please. Yeah. I had to work at it a lot.
You had to find out how to be a better speaker. And
upskill myself. Upskill myself, you know. And I think that's the important thing about even what you said is whatever your vision or your passion is in life, because we are running out of time, whatever your vision or passion is in life, you have to work at it because you can be blessed and gifted, but if you don't harness that gift and you don't refine it, then, well, you're going to fall by the wayside.
Exactly.
We're going to forget about you.
It was so fun having you in studio.
So
I know. The next show's already looking at us like, y'all are about to run over time.
Yeah, we are about
thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much. And just quickly, before we go, tell people where they can find you.
Yes, so Instagram and Twitter at bkoyabe, KOYABE, and then ScoutedSA on Instagram and ScoutedZA on Twitter.
Awesome.
We don't usually do this, but I want to leave you with something that really helps me a lot. And it's just a verse. We are pressured in every way, but we are not crushed. We are not, we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down and not persecuted. And we are not deserted or struck down, but never destroyed. So always carry on. Always push.
Nice.
Because you might feel like right now you're being crushed, or rather you're being pressured, but you won't be crushed.
Yes.
Nice.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Cliffcentral.com.